Yesterday we began to explore the opening mission of Ketz Mevarchen in a methodical way. The Mishnah gives a long list of categories of foods and the corresponding bracha. And the Mishnah begins to give you sort of a sense of structure that there are certain larger categories and smaller subcategories of Pri Ha'etz, and then a subset of Pri Ha'ilon is Yayin. It gets its own bracha in Sebar Pri Ha'etz. There's a general category of Pri Ha'aretz, Peres Ha'aretz, and a sub, which gets a bar of Pri Ha'adama, a subset, a subcategory of that, an exception, is Pas, which instead of bar of Pri Ha'adama is Hamotzi Lachem in Ha'aretz. It should be noted, Gemara later in the Perek teaches us that you say a bar of Pri Ha'adama when you eat grain kernels. Wheat is bar pri adama, but if you form wheat into bread, then you make hamotzi lechem aretz. Much as grapes are a bar pri aretz, but if you process the grapes into wine, then you shift to the local sub bracha of bar pri agafen. Mishnah at the end has the machlokas whether the bracha of bar pri ha'adama only applies to peros ha'aretz, like beans and peas. On corn, or does it also apply to yarukos, like lettuce and cabbage, leafy vegetables? So Rabbi Yehuda is mechalek, and we paskin. The Gemara says clearly, we paskin that we do not differentiate. And we both of those categories for us fall under bari pri hadama. So in thinking about this mission yesterday, we had a chance to think about how the categories are crafted, and that the categories reflect a sense of kol d'tikun rabbanan k'in d'oraisa tikun. And more broadly, remember we said, if you think about the Mishnah, to take a step back, there are three major yesodos in the Mishnah. There's one yesod which precedes the Mishnah, and that's the chiyuv levarech. That's what Tosfos pointed out. The Mishnah is starting from step two, which says, Ketza, how do you go about saying a bracha? And then, in terms of how you go about saying a bracha, Ketza Mevarchen includes two things. It includes the fact that there's a particular nusach, or as the Gemara will later refer to it as a matbeya, the matbeya shetavu chachamim, the brachos. Specific coinage, specific formula. You could have said something else about bread, you could have said something else about fruit, but no, it's the Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. We say Bori Pri Haaretz. And then, in addition to Nusach and Brachos, there's also the idea of Pirut. They want to be Mefaret. You want to be specific. Don't just say Shakol Nia Bedvar in every food. Mishnah, as we saw yesterday, Mishnah Daf Mem says, you are Yotze B'diavad. If you made a Shahakol on a banana, or you made a Shahakol on a kiwi, you're yotzi, you don't make another bracha, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to mefaret and brachas. Okay. And again, in the world of pure brachas, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, in the world of pure brachas, all those different categories that the Mishnah has, we saw that ke'en d'oraisa takon. Chazal Mersak, and Chazal set up this whole network of ideas of brachas rishonos. The whole brachas rishonos, I'll be pashas drabanan. We'll get that more in the sugya. The opening gemara is going to try to figure out, is there a source in chumash? The pashas we assume it's drabanan. So called the tikkun rabanan. Whenever chazan make a takkun rabanan, ke'en daraisatin. They try to make it ke'en daraisatin. So you saw the category of lechem and yayin and peiros ha'ilan is all drabanan. Question.
This is just a question on the general idea of separation between the brachos. We said that once you have something that's bread, then you make. I know we mentioned that we mentioned yesterday that we don't see the bracha of mizonos over here, and it's mysterious. But at what point does it change from pre ha'aretz?
That's it.
Because for unprocessed cookie dough.
Great question. That's a fantastic what if question. And you're in luck, because Ketz Mevarchen is full of, the Gemara, the next couple of blot, are full of what if questions and answers to those questions. So those are actually some of the questions that are going to, after the first block of the paragraph, so are more general questions, and then the Gemara is going to dig into how you define, when is it mizonos, when is it hamotzi, when is it ha'adama, exactly. Or apples are ha'et, how about applesauce? Is applesauce ha'et, is applesauce shahaka, or is applesauce ha'adama? Right. Avocado is ha'et, how about guacamole? Right. Or cocoa beans, cacao beans presumably are ha'et. How about chocolate? Is chocolate shahako? Maybe chocolate's ha'et? Sugar. Rama quotes a three machlokas about sugar. Sugar doesn't come from a factory. Sugar comes from sugarcane trees. Processed. So it comes from a tree. So the three opinions in Gaonim, whether sugar, granulated sugar, is that ha'et, or is that shahako, or is that hadam? So that's coming up. Starting at Daf Lamed Vav, so we have several blocks where the Gemara is going to try to work out. Yeah, and what's the difference in bread and cakes and cookies, and when is it mizonos, and when is it hamotzi, and how about a chocolate chip challah? At what point do you say, come on, that's not bread, or it is, or isn't it? So all that is coming attractions. But now, before we work out the details of where to draw the lines, and is a banana ha'etz adama? Are strawberries ha'etz adama? How about blueberries? How about papaya? So those questions are coming up. Very, very good questions. Okay, but more fundamental questions first. So we saw the Mishnah, and we thought about the Mishnah. We recognize the Mishnah is laying out that the underlying premise is the Chiyuv Levarech, and the Mishnah is focused on two additional Yesodos. There's a Nusach in Brachas, and there's a Pirut in Brachas, there are categories. And we left off yesterday with a couple of Kashas, thinking about the Nusach of the Brachas. One kasha was Peros Ha'ilan. You say Bore, not Bore Peros Ha'ilan, but Bore Pri Ha'etz. So which one is it? And we saw the same thing recur: Peros Aretz, Bore Pri Ha'adama, not Bore Pri Peros Aretz. On the Shaim, a Yirakos rather. You say, according to Yehuda, Bari Mina Deshaim. The Nusach HaBracha never lines up with the category, which is sort of strange. The whole idea is we want to specify the category, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so why aren't we using the name of the category in the Bracha? That was one problem. Another Kasha was a Kasha that Rizva raised, which is Hamotzi. Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz is not parallel to all those Bore Pris, or Bores. Bore Pri Ha'etz, Bore Pri Ha'adama, Bore Mina Deshan, Bore Mina Mizonos. Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Why wasn't it Bore Lechem Min Haaretz? Bore Lechem Min Ha'adama, like Bore Pri Ha'adama. So the Hamotzi, the Ritva points out, fits in sort of awkwardly into the otherwise elegant stream series of brachas that appears in the Mishnah. So Chazal must have had something in mind. What did they have in mind? And then a third issue. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's back up a little bit. There is, the third question is going to come from the world of challah. Hafrashas challah. This is again our first foray. We touched on some Torah mishnahs a little bit yesterday. We spoke about Arla. We'll come back to other mitzvahs. Now we talk about challah. The Torah says in Parsha Shlach, Torah says in Parsha Shlach that you come into Eretz Yisrael, Haaretz, come into Eretz Yisrael, and Bachocha Milachem Haaretz. When you eat the bread of the land, again, Lechem, this is one of the examples of Lechem and Chumash. Kol Tikkun Olam Kein Daras HaTikkun, okay. Bachocha Milachem Haaretz, Chala Tarimu Teruma. When you have dough, you have to take a teruma from your dough. Just like if you're a farmer who's raising grapes or olives or barley. So when you bring that in to your barn from the field, you harvest it and bring it into the barn, you have to take off a small percentage to give it to the kohen. That's called truma. Truma's dagan. So too, if you take that barley or that wheat and decide to mill it into flour and mix it with water and make dough for bread, you once again take another teruma. We call it challah. You're mafresh challah from the dough, Chalot tarim and truma. Take a piece of dough and tarim and truma. Take it as a truma. Then you will give that to the kohen as well. That's the mitzvah for Parshas Chalot. Parshas Shlach. Parshas Shlach. The Rambam introduces it. Rambam says, as you may have seen, in the beginning of the fifth parak of Hilchas Bikurim, the first four prakim of Bikurim are about, yes?
Bikurim.
Bikurim, exactly. And then the fifth parak, he says, now let's talk about another topic. The official full title of Bikurim is Bikurim Ushar Matnas Kahuna. A long title, so it doesn't say make on top of it. That's the official title. Hilchas Bikurim Ushar Matnas Kahuna. So after four prakim of Bikurim, he talks about other Matnas Kahuna. So the next on the list, Halacha Perakei, Mitzvah Sasei Lahafrish Truma Min Ha'isa La'Kohen. To take some truma from your dough and give it to the Kohen. A pasuk in the Chumash. Reishis Ariso Seichem Chalot Tarim Truma. Take a reishis of your dough, that chala, that dough, Tarimu Truma, take off a piece of dough, piece of chala, as a truma you give to the Kohen. Just like the truma from the grain or from the fruits, it goes to the Kohen, it has Kedusha, non-Kohen, how I eat it. Very severe are there for non coming to the same for that Farshas Chag. Okay. Fast forward 10 halachas, Rambam writes, Kol mafresh chala, mevarech tchila, asher ki yisham sasav, v'tzivanu lahafresh chala. Okay, we read so earlier in the year during Elul's Mam, we spoke a little bit about the Birkas HaMitzvahs, Kol mitzvahs kul mevarech and over la'asiyas, and Rambam says, here's a fantastic example. The mitzvah of Farshas Chala, you gotta make a bracha. What's the bracha? Asher ki yisham sasav, v'tzivanu, Rambam says, Lahafrish chal. Fantastic. What does the Sheiltos say? What does the Sheiltos say? Who is the Sheiltos? So again, the Sheiltos we started talking about today. The Sheiltos is written around the 700s, the 800s. Once upon a time, we did a very, very brief sort of survey, 2,000 years of Jewish history. You'll remember from until roughly speaking, from the year 1 to the year 500, very loosely speaking, is Tanaim and then Amoraim, Mishnayis and Gemara. Chasimus HaTalmud is shortly after the year 500. From the year 500 to year 1000, loosely speaking, is Gaonim. Post-Gemara, but the center, world center of Torah learning is still in Bavel, Surah and Pumpadisam. Around the year 1000 to 1500 is Rishonim. At that point, the center of Torah learning has shifted westward to the Mediterranean, France and Spain and North Africa, Germany also, a little further north. And then finally, from around the year 1500 until the year, till the present, is the Acharonim, where things have spread back there. It's Israel, things have spread up to Eastern Europe. So here we are in the middle of the period of the Gaonim, where the first major independent, maybe the first major independent halachic work, written post-Gemara, the Sheilta, where he talks about many, many, many areas of halacha. He has close to 200 segments, 200 she'iltos, arranged on Seder Parshas HaShavua. See, here we are, the first topic in Parshas Tzav, he talks about Parshas Chala. Even though Parshas Chala appears later in Shlach, he finds a hook to talk about in Tzav also. He she'iltos sometimes has these creative, sometimes very straightforward which topic goes where, but sometimes it's a little bit playful, a little creative. For instance, the topic of Mesiras Nefesh, giving one's life, of Kiddush Hashem, not to violate Avodah Zarah, Girash, Shvichas Damim. Where does he put it? Not in Parshas Kedoshim or Emor. He puts it in Parshas Va'era. Why is it in Parshas Va'era? Va'era isn't necessarily chock full of halachic topics. So I guess he decided we'll put this in Parshas Va'era. I have other things to talk about in Kedoshim. Why is it in Va'era? Because the Gemara says that Hanan Mishal Ba'azariah, the story in Sefer Daniel, They're told you can either bow to Nebuchadnezzar's statue or we're going to toss you into this fiery furnace. The Gemara in Pesachim says, they said to themselves, the Kal v'chomer, the tzvardim, however you translate it, the frogs, the crocodiles, they were willing to go into Pesachim the Chumash. They went even into the ovens, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do, spread throughout the land. They even went into the ovens. Even though they're not humans, mere animals, went into the oven for... because that's what Rav Shalom wanted, so we're human beings. We should certainly be ready to go into the oven if necessary to fulfill Tzibur Hashem. So the Shulta says, Parshas Va'era, let's talk about Kiddush Hashem. He has those creative connections. See here, Parshas Tzav, Mitzvah, Shilta Ayin Gimel, is where he talks about Hafrashas Chal. So as he say, Mechayvin Beis Yisrael, it's in Aramaic mostly, Lafrushi Chalsa, Me'agna Delisha. The Jewish people are mechayiv to separate Chala from the mixing bowl quotes the pasuk, Reishis Arisa Seichem, Chalotri Utruma, Umibai Le Levaruche, the very first detail of the dinim that he tells you is, you got to make a bracha. What's the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem. Here he gives the whole thing. Asher Kishon, Kehem Melech Ha'olam, Asher Kishon, Zosav, Tzivanu, Al, Hatruma. Interesting. So the Sheiltos in the 7-800 says you make a bracha on truma. The Rambam says in the 1100 lahafresh chala. The Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, in his commentary, the Tur in the 1300s quotes both versions. He says some say lahafresh chala, some say lahafresh truma. The ain chiluk. The Tur writes it's not such a big difference. They mean the same thing. You look in Shulchan Aruch. You look in Shulchan Aruch, it means the same thing. There has to be some difference. It means something. You look in Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry? The Tur says there are two opinions. They mean the same thing. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Here we are. Shin Chavches, 200 years after the Tur, Shulchan Aruch writes. He uses the same organizational scheme as the Tur. So Yardis, Shin Chavches, is a siman about the certain details of Hafarsha's Chala, including the Bracha. Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch, and I would love to hear your question. B'shosh Shiyafresh Chala. The Jew is ready to be Mafresh Chala. Yivareich. You say, Bracha, Asher Kishon, Sosov, V'tzivanu. What's the Bracha? Well, in the block print, it says Lahafresh Chala. And then the Ksav Rashi, it's O. Sorry, Lahafresh Truma. And the Ksav Rashi, it's O, Lahafresh Chala. Assuming if you've learned Mishnah Berurah in the past, Mishnah Berurah is a particular presentation of Shulchan Aruch with his own pirush on the bottom. So you know that the Ramah, the Ashkenazi in the 1500s, Moshe Isserles, wrote additional notes to the Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch. He was a Sephardi. Shulchan Aruch was a Sephardi. Ramah was an Ashkenazi. So you know that the printing convention is that the block print is the language of the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber, Yosef Karo, and the Ksav Rashi is the language of the Ramah adds, the Hagos, the glosses that he adds in. Sometimes a separate sentence, sometimes he just adds a phrase into the sentence of Shulchan Aruch, like here. So all the block print is the language of the Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Ramah's addition is Ol HaHafresh Chala. Those three words from Ksav Rashi, that's the language of the Ramah. So what we said, over, going back to Gaonim and Rishonim, it's already a machlokas. And as examples, we said that the She'ilto says Truma in the Bracha, and the Rambam says Chala in the Bracha. In the 1500s, the Shulchan Aruch says Truma, and the Rama says Chala. Okay. The Shach on the side says, you could also say Chala, but of course it's even better to say Truma. See the Shach on the side over here. It's a Chala. Miu lahafresh truma adiv tvei. The Ramah's Shach understood. The Ramah is saying you could even say lahafresh chal. Oh, lahafresh chal. The Ramah isn't disagreeing. He's adding. Say, oh, you could also say lahafresh chal if you want to. But the Shach says, but of course, it's better to say lahafresh truma. What is the issue? Lahafresh truma, lahafresh chal. You might be wondering, what's Cohen doing? I was in the middle of learning brachas daf lamin hei. We're learning about brachas I know about. We had a couple of questions, and all of a sudden Cohen starts running to Hafreshes Chala. What? Sheiltos, a Rambam, what's going on? What is going on? Our third question. Question number one is Peir Se'ilan Bari Prihei. That sort of disconnect between the categories of the Mishnah and the language of the brachas. The second question was, looking at different brachos in parallel, Hamotzi is not like all the Bari Pris. Question number three is, what's with the Hafresh Truma? Well, one of the best things you can do right now to bring Mashiach is to learn Torah Baras Machla. The Hafresh Truma versus the Hafresh Chal. Right? The Hafresh Truma was the language of the Sheiltos and the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Ayin Vav. The Hafresh Chala was the language of the Rambam and the Ramah. There are other Rishonim also, if you're interested. The Beis Yosef, of course, other Rishonim will get involved in this also, but that's just a representative sample. What's the issue? What's the issue and how will it help? So let's go back for a moment, now that we've lined up our questions. Is it germane or is it a side point? It'll sidetrack us. Let's hold on.
It's quick though, I think. The she'iltos uses.
That implies the answer to my question. Yeah.
The she'iltos uses the lashon of ala shirva versus the half rish shirva.
That's good. Pinchas points out, not our topic right now. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Zayin points out, we may have touched on this during Elzman. Gemara in Pesachim Daf Zayin points out, when you look at Birkas HaMitzvahs, some of them are al and some of them are al lit. Al Nikr Megillah versus Lehafrish Halam in Ha'isa. Lehaniach Tfilin. So the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Zayin tries to work on that. When do you say al, when do you say lamid? And I think I may have mentioned then that the Gemara's conclusion is a little bit murky. It's hard to know exactly what the Gemara's, and God's clearly work on that problem. What the Gemara's answer was, how do we categorize brachas into which types of brachas need the al, which need the lamed, a little bit mysterious. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer on, of all things, in his Sefer on Egla Arufa, he's trying to figure out what brachas you make on, if you were to do an Egla Arufa, he says, well, you gotta go back to the Sugya. And he proceeds to catalog 10 different shitos in Rishonim as to how to understand the maskana of Pesachim Daf Zayin. So if you're interested, you can take a look. This she'iltos, it could be he quotes the she'iltos in terms of how the she'iltos seems to understand. It's an interesting question. Not germane right now. That's another difference, right? That is another difference. You say al hatruma or lehafrish. Lehafrish, correct. Correct. So let's take a look at the Ritva. Ritva, you have. The Ritva had spoken about this question number two. Kasha 1, Kasha 2, Kasha 3. The Ritva, what did the Ritva say? Let's shtel a little bit. The Nusach of the Ritva. Arayn kukin, chevre. Arayn kukin in Ritva. So look inside. To cook is to see. Rav Kook, talk with a man with great vision. Shmo kenu. To cook arayn is to look inside. Lama arayn kukin. What did the Ritva say? Here, the last piece on column Resh Test Zayin. Chutz min apas. Look in your Ritva, look in your neighbor's Ritva, or just listen. Chutz min apas. Shahapas v'omer. Hamoti lechem min ha'aretz. Ahapas. That's another, by the way. It's for prayer say Ilan Bar creates, and pas, you say Hamoti lechem min ha'aretz. So he says, "Umushim hachi lo amriyam be bori pri haaretz, o hamotzi lechem min haadama." Why is that motzi lechem min haaretz? Why not throw in a bore? Or why at least use the word adama, like bori pri haadama? The kol chad. What's the answer? Why we have that's his. This is the second of the three kashrut lined up on the board. Why is the bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz so unlike the other nuschaos of brachas in the Mishnah? Well, what's with that? Why don't they streamline things more? He says, the kol chad v'chad mevaruch and alei kelishna dekra. Because every single bracha, every single item, you make a bracha kelishna dekra, like the language of the Tanakh. The lechem kisiv lahotzi lechem in haaretz. Pasuk in Tilm points out at the bottom. That's Tilm kuf dalet. That is barchi nafshi. Lahotzi lechem in haaretz. So that's hamotzi lachem min haaretz. The language of the bracha corresponds very closely to language that you find in the Tanakh. Ubeperos, you find that phrase. Ubeperos ksiv v'lokachtom ereshis kol peri ha'adama. Okay. So the Ritva says you're right. It looks looking at the Mishnah. It looks like our second kasha, the nuschaos of the various brachas, aren't as parallel to one another as they could have been. We don't say bore pri ha'aretz or something. We don't see hamotzi lechem min ha'adama like bore pri ha'adama. Yeah, that's because as much as parallelism is nice and beautiful and elegant, but there's a more important design principle, the Ritva says, in brachas, and that is kelishna dekra. Kelishna dekra. So when Chazal make or be masakin brachas, they were looking for parallel language, parallel phrases in the Tanakh. So they were looking for a phrase about HaKadosh Baruch Hu making bread, and they found a pasuk in Tehillim. Lahotzi lechem min haaretz. So we make a bracha, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. They're looking for a phrase about vegetables. So what do they find? Pri ha'adama. By the way, as an aside, you might wonder if you actually think of what that pasuk is. What is the context of that pasuk, a pri ha'adama?
Like
Bikurim. Right? V'lakach tamei rishis kol priya adama. Take the first of your, take the first of your
fruit.
That's interesting. The source for the bracha on bread is lahotzi lechem nar. That works well. The source for the bracha on vegetables is a pasuk about fruit. Okay. That's happening. That's strange. Why are we using a bracha? The pasuk is talking about grapes and figs and pomegranates. So Hashem is haminim. That's the source for the vegetable bracha. And there's an answer if you think about it a little bit more. And actually, it's very elegant. The Ritva doesn't make a point of this, but if you stop and think, it's actually fantastic, magnificent. What do you know about Bikurim? What do you bring as Bikurim? Specifically, which species? Shivas Aminim. Right? So Shivas Aminim includes grapes, and pomegranates, and figs, and dates, olives, and what bracha would you make if you eat any of those five species? Bar creates. What are the other? But there are seven minim. So what are the other two?
Wheat
and barley. What bracha do you make on wheat and barley? Well, if it's processed, you make a mezonos or a hamotzi, which our Mishnah tells us is an exceptional subset of the general category of bari pri hadama. As I mentioned before, if you koseh chita, if you eat raw the grain whole, you just boil. If you like eating mamash, whole grains, cracked wheat, you're eating wheat berries, so you make a ha'adama. So actually, it's fantastic, it's magnificent, because the original pri ha'adama included both bor pri ha'adama type items and bor pri ha'etz type items. So not only is it a source of bor pri ha'adama, it's even a source, not only is it a source for the Mishnah Lamed Hey, the Nusach HaBrachas bor pri ha'adama, it's actually even a source for the Mishnah Daf Mem, that Bor Pri Adama also includes Bor Pri Eitz. When we want to have a term to include both wheat and barley on the one end, as well as the grapes and olives and so forth, the combined term is Pri Adama. That's exactly what the Mishnah says on Daf Mem. Okay, beautiful. So now we appreciate the Ritva. Okay, good. Now we begin to appreciate the Ritva. Okay? So you say, oh, the answer is these two Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz isn't parallel to the other Bori Pris, because you don't find Bori Pri HaLechem, or Bori Lechem, you find Lahotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Okay, so Kalishna Dekra is a very important design principle. Brachas, can you give me another example of a bracha that's built on Lishna Dekra, specifically a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu? You saw that Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Yizayin. Rufa'eni Hashem ve'ei Rafei. Hoshieni ve'iva shea ki sehilasi ata. That is the pasuk in the 17th chapter of Yirmiyahu. And you see, once you see that pasuk, you say, "Wow, it sounds very familiar." Obviously, it's not that the pasuk came from the bracha. Obviously, the bracha came from the pasuk. Yirmiyahu's Talmud Mufak was, who remembers? A little bit of Sefer Malachim or Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu's Talmud Mufak was Mamash. No remembers. Who Yirmiyahu's Talmud Mufak was? Baruch ben Neriah. The Rambam says, when the Rambam has the chain of Masorah, he says, and Baruch's primary Talmud was Ezra. Ezra is the head of, the leader of the Am Shekinah Zagadola, who were, the Gemara says, responsible for crafting many, many brachas, and particularly Shmoneh Esrei. So Ezra, in crafting Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafei Hoshinu v'nei Vashay, Kisi Yaseinu Ata, borrowed language from his Rebbe's Rebbe, from Yirmiyahu, didn't say from Yirmiyahu. And in general, the brachas would be patterned after Lishna Dekra. As a matter of fact, the Ritva says this here. The Ritva's Rebbe, the Ra'ah on brachas, also says this. And they had a contemporary, also a member of the school, the Beis Medrash of the Ramban, named Abudraham, who wrote a whole sefer on this theme. He wrote a sefer on halachas of tefillah and the nusach of tefillah, the nusach of the Siddur. One of the main goals of the Sefer Abudraham is to show the source in Tanakh for various terms and brachas, like Rufaini Hashem Ve'ei Rafei. That bracha, Rufaini, is based on Yirmiyahu. He goes throughout the Siddur showing, this is based on Pasuk here, this is based on Pasuk here, this is based on Pasuk Daniel, and so on and so on and so forth. Again, what the Ritva sees over here, It's array. Our Mishnah is an example of that. This is a broad idea. The bracha, as much as possible, Chazal Masakim Brachas, Ke Lishna Dekra. They were trying to borrow the language of the Tanakh. How does that help me address anything else? Peirus Ha'ilan Bari Priyates. So let me ask you a question. I asked some of you this question during morning Seder. Catch that man. How do you say that man in Hebrew? Oso Ha'ish or Ha'ish Ahu. Oso Ha'ish, that man. Right? That day is Bo Bayom. Oso Hayom. Oso Hayom is that day. Or Bayom Ahu, Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. Which one is it? Is it Oso Hayom or Hayom Ahu? Is it Oso Ha'ish or is it Ha'ish Ahu? Oso Ha'ish is also, as an aside, a euphemism for the founder of Christianity, for Yeshu, because we refer to him as that man. We never want to name him. And because the Chumash, at the end of Chumash Devarim, speaks about that man who worships Avodah Zarah, that man who encourages others to worship Avodah Zarah. But the tricky thing is, while the language that we use as a euphemism for Yeshu is Oso Ha'ish, if you look in the Chumash end of Chumash Devarim, it doesn't say V'hotzeisa Oso Ha'ish, it says V'hotzeisa Es Ha'isha Hu O Es Ha'isha Ha'hi. So which one is it? Is it Oso Ha'ish? Or is it Ha'ish Ahu? Is it Bo Bayom, that day, which you'll find different places in Chazal, or is it, as we say, the pasuk that we say every day in Aleinu, Bayom Ahu? Bayom Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. So which one is it? Which one is it? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Nun Ches, and the Gemara in Chulin, of Kuf Lamed Zayin, asks similar types of questions. The Gemara in Chulin says, how do you say, there's a very common woman's name that actually means sheep. The common woman's name that means bee, Devorah. The common woman's name that means sheep. The modern Hebrew woman's name, Talia, is a young sheep. There's a classical biblical Hebrew woman's, very popular woman's name. It means sheep. That is one of the imahos.
Rachel.
Rachel, right? A Rachel is a sheep. A Rachel is a sheep. How do you say many sheep? Reche. What did you say? Rechelim. That's what it says. So the Gemara tells a story. That one Amora hears another Amora learning with his son, learning Mishnayos with his son, learning Brises with his son. It's learning about halachas of sheep, specifically Reishis Hagez. If you shear a number of sheep, you have to give a portion of that shearing as Matnas Kahuna. And he hears the other Amora saying to his son about Rechelim. He says, why are you saying Rechelim? The language of the Mishnah of the Brises says Rechelos. That's a story in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. A parallel story in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, is that an Amora asks a Shaila. That's Avodah Zarah Nun Ches in the middle of the sugis of Yein Akum, of the halachas of non-Jewish wine. And the non-Jew manufactures wine, it's not kosher, sometimes non-Jew touches, handles wine, it becomes treif. So the Amora raises a Shaila about a Nachri who is Moseich. He's mixing the wine. And the other Amor says, why do you say Moseich? You should say Mosaic. So in both cases, the first Amor who's questioned said, what do you mean? It says in the Chumash, Rechelim Masayim. Masach is a little more obscure, but they're still going to talk about Maschayena. She mixed her wine. But on the other hand, the Mishnayos say Rechelos. Mishnayos talk about Mizigas Hakos. You know what the Gemara answers? In both in Chulin Kuf Lamed Zayin and in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Ches. You know what the Gemara answers? Historical answer. What's the answer? What's the difference between these two categories?
There is
There's a big difference. They mean the same thing. And I'll give you another one. How do you say tree? You maybe say eitz, or maybe you say ilan. How do you say dirt? Well, you might say, I mean, the earth. You might say adama. Or you might say aretz. How do you say this? Zeh. Good. And how do you say this feminine? Zos or zu. Or if you want to be technical, it would be zo. But yeah, zayin vav. So what's going on here? What's going on here? So many pairs. You know what the answer is? The Gemara says, the Gemara specifically is talking about these two, Rechel and Rechelos. And the Gemara of Ozar is talking about, is it Mesicha or Meziga? I'll give you one more. How do you say that? The man that helped me. Ha'ish? Either you say Sheh, or you say Asher. Which one is it? You know the answer to all these is?
Gender was specific.
The Gemara says, a historical answer. Lashon Torah Luchud and Lashon Chachalim Luchud. These are Lashon Torah. And these are Lashon Chachalim. What does that mean? What that means is that Chazal were noted that the language evolved. And there's ancient Hebrew and there's more recent Hebrew. There's biblical Hebrew. And then over time, the language evolved slightly, and the Hebrew of the Mishnah is not the same as the Hebrew of the Tanakh. Not even within the period of Tanakh alone, 1,000 years from Maimon Har Sinai to the end of the Tanakh, to the days of Anshei Knesset HaGadol, and you see changes. You see changes. In the Chumash, that is always going to be Asher. You will never see a Shin as a prefix. Mishnayos are full of Shins as a prefix, almost never Asher. The Chumash will say Rechelim, but the Mishnayos will say Rechelos. The Chumash will say, or the Tanakh will say Mosech, the Tanoim will say Mosech. Bayom Ahu, it's a Pasuk. Chazal say Bo Bayom. Chazal say Oso Ha'ish. The Psukim say Ha'ish Ahu. Biblical Hebrew versus Mishnaic Hebrew. By the way, modern Hebrew, which was sort of shaped in an intentional way, sometimes has certain aspects of biblical Hebrew. Sometimes like Zos, sometimes has certain aspects of Mishnaic Hebrew, and sometimes is neither. And now Zos is biblical Hebrew, Zo is Mishnaic Hebrew. And now we come to Eitz and Ilan. Now Mishnayos do use the word Eitz all the time, but when a Mishnah uses Eitz, it'll be something like Kli Eitz. The Mishnah is talking about the difference between a metal Kli Mateches, and pottery, ceramic, Kli Cheres, and a wooden Kli Eitz. But Eitz in Chumash can mean two things. Eitz can mean wood, or Eitz can mean a tree. But in Mishnayos, Eitz means wood. How do you say a tree? An Ilan. That's originally an Aramaic word, as you see from Sefer Daniel, and it got absorbed into later Hebrew. So while in biblical Hebrew, eitz could either mean wood or a tree, eitz zayis could either mean olive wood or it could mean an olive tree. As guys pointed out, I think you would have pointed out, we had in Bekiyas, in the Mishnah second parak, you're only, the umanim are barosha ilan. They're not on top of the wood, and they're on top of the tree. Because in Mishnaic Hebrew, we differentiate between a tree, which is an Ilan, and wood, which is Eitz. That's why you might have friends named Ilan, but not named Eitz. Because to call someone, your child a tree, that's nice. You wouldn't call your child wood. That's not particularly attractive name. Adama also is a biblical word that largely disappears from Mishnaic Hebrew. I got to think about it a little bit. Eretz is used in biblical Hebrew also, but I think that more means like a country, a particular area, like Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, Ha'aretz Asher Ani Nosein, the country, the area that I'm giving you. But the actual earth, is Adama. Masha'enokain in the language of Chazal. So now you look at our Mishnah. Oh, one more example, by the way. When you have that mitzvah, you make dough, and you're going to bake it. And before you bake it, you have a mitzvah derisa part pesukim and shlach to take off a little bit. And what do you call that little bit? Or truma. The Mishnayos always call it challah. But the Torah says, tarimu tiruma. As a matter of fact, if you look, challah, a piece of dough, challah in Tanakh means a loaf. Chalos toda, are the toda loaves. But the piece that you take off is called tiruma. There are other things there also with the verbs, not going to get into that now, laharim versus lisrom. You look at the Rambam, when he introduces the mitzvah in the beginning of Perek Hey, the first time he used the word truma, but then after that he uses the word challah, because he's starting by identifying the mitzvah, which is always rooted in, for the Rambam, a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk in Chumash says, challah, some dough, tarimu teruma. You should take an uplifted portion from it. First time he defines the mitzvah, he uses biblical language. Beginning of because that's the Lashon HaPasuk. Later on, he uses language of Chazal. It calls that piece you take off a challah. And so now, everything falls into fantastically beautiful place, because the answer to all of these kashas is not only, as the Ritva said, we want to use specific phrases from the Tanakh as much as possible in crafting the language of brachas, but in general, the language that you use. Now, lishnikar not only means the nivim, the particular expressions, but it also means the overall sfas hamikra, safa. We're using biblical Hebrew as opposed to Mishnaic Hebrew. That is exactly what the Be'er HaGra says in Yoredeya. He says the reason why there's a preference for Lahafresh Truma, because that's lishna dekra. He says just like we always mean al hayirakos, you say bori mina deshan. And presumably also peiros ha'ilan, you say bori priya eitz. Peiros ha'aretz, bori priya adama. Because ke'en daraisa is not only in terms of the categories, but even the nusach also, in a certain sense, is ke'en daraisa, as the Ritva said, ke'lishna dekra. And that is part of what's going on in the Mishnah.